same thing, by the way, is true with the Hemshech over here. The last line of the paragraph, the Hin Tzedek, Shehei Lav Shalcha Tzedek, V'Hein Shalcha Tzedek. A person should know that I'm true to my word. If I say something, it's happening. It's also a certain weight. My words carry weight. I don't just say things and I don't mean them. I don't just say things and I don't deliver. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. It's a certain heaviness. It's a certain... My words mean something. It's amazing. Politicians say this time of year is a great great example. We have how many? Six Democrats running now? How many? Anybody know that many? I think there's six. I think. Nobody knows? Well, you know of only three? Much, what? Come on.
Anybody going against Bush on the Republican side?
There will be. So you have Bush and you have all his the people that are going to try to get him out of office. Being Loichel and Lachama, starting a Lachama campaigns, different campaigns. I think last night or the night before, I don't remember when, I think there was a big nationally televised debate. And wow, couldn't be last night. A nationally televised debate. All the candidates are going at each other and criticizing each other and making promises. And it's amazing. Listen, Moshe, listen carefully. If you hear the candidates talking, it's an amazing thing. The incumbent, the guy who's president now, he has to defend his record. But the ones that are going to become president, the world, I'm telling you, you would think that if they become president, the world is going to become a perfect place. Paradise. Mamish. It's going to become a perfect place. An absolutely perfect place. It's amazing. And for years, it's going on for years, and everyone just, you know, just continues to be the Mahal. It's just an amazing thing. So why am I bringing this up? I'm bringing this up because you have a guy get up and make promises. And he knows he's lying, and we know he's lying, and it's taped and televised, and it can be played back, and it still doesn't stop him, that he knows he's saying something, and he knows that it's a lie. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. If they're not lying, they're mentally challenged, you know, one of the two. Either they're lying or there's something wrong. It's just an amazing thing that we live in a society where it's okay to get up and to say lies with confidence in front of an entire country on tape. That's the world that we live in. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. It's okay to lie. It's a campaign thing. You know, it's okay to lie for campaign. I don't want to get too involved in politics. A couple of years ago, my wife first started doing speech therapy. We were still living in New York. So she didn't drive then, she didn't have a license then, so I used to drive her to the school that she does therapy in, and I used to wait in the car. So I remember there was one day, I was sitting in the car, I was flipping around the channels on the radio, and there was a show on, it was very, very interesting, a very fascinating show, where they interviewed the speech writers for presidents. You know, presidents don't speak. They have some vague idea of what they want to say, even that, kulei hai ve'ulai. Some presidents have a vague idea of what they want to say. The people who create the agenda or the policy of the administration, they say the policy. The speechwriter says the words, and the president is the puppet that gets up and says the speech. So if the real people that are running the country, the real people that are making things happen are the speechwriters. They're really powerful people. So there was a few speechwriters that were in this that were on this show. And they were talking about different things. They were talking about the difference between different presidents. It was very interesting. Anybody wants to talk about it another time. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. But there was one thing I remember that I don't know how much. You guys are a little younger than me, but President Bush's father was president a couple of years ago. And one of his biggest political downfalls was that when he became president, when he was campaigning or something, his famous line, "Read my lips, no more taxes." That was one of his things. And he became president, and he raised taxes. That was his downfall. That was one part of it. That was one of the things. It was a big tumult. Read my lips, you know, and can't say more strongly than that. And that was part of his downfall. I don't mean to insult Republicans. So the guy who wrote that speech was on this show. So he brought it up. You know, like, you messed up over there. They were, like, mocking him, you know. He said, look, it was a great speech, and it was a great line, and it brought national attention to it, just like I was supposed to. It's not my fault that he turned around and raised taxes after that. But it just comes to show, it just brought out to me how much it's mevusas, the whole thing is mevusas on Sheker. Like, the world wants to hear no more taxes. So think of the best, most expressive way to say it. What I'm going to do, that's a different subject. But right now, make sure to get that out in the most expressive way. The idea of being hein shelchot tzedek. If I say yes, it's yes. If I say no, it's no. It's non-existent in our world. It's a big challenge for us. We can't live that way. Whatever it is, we have a business, a family, friends, people that depend on us. A yes is a yes, and a no is a no. There's a lot of different midas, and a lot of different midas that a person has to try to perfect. And Mesil Yisharim, we'll talk about different midas. But you see a tremendous hakpada about speaking truth, emes. And it's a little bit bothersome. In other words, what's so terrible if it doesn't affect anybody and I tell a lie? What's so terrible? Why is that a bad thing? Why is lying a bad thing? I understand that if I lie and I make money off a lie, if I steal, if I, you know, I understand that that's, it's gneva, it's mein gneva, it's, but, I'm telling you it's dark outside and it's light outside, so what? What's the evil of sheker? We'll start from the beginning, which is sometimes seems more esoteric and less negel lemaisa, but usually the most lemaisa, the good things come from understanding something deeply. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rav Huttner brings this, a very big, very famous Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ki ha-emes humi yisaydei ha-nefesh. Emes is from the yisaydis of the nefesh, from the foundations of the nefesh. In what way is emes mi yisaydei ha-nefesh? So there's a few levels to understand this. I'm gonna start with I knew I couldn't find the medrash that fast. I looked in the, I know that the revolver brings it, but I'm really just gonna read a medrash. It's a Bereishis Rabba. Omer Rab Simon, Rab Simon said, "B'shal Shabbat Kadosh Baruch Hu livrei es Adam Harishon." At the time that Kadosh Baruch Hu came to create Adam, Kadosh Baruch Hu was ready to create Adam. Naasu Malachi Hashores Kitim Kitim V'Chaburais Chaburais. The Malachi Hashores came into different groups, different political parties. They divided up into Mehem Oimrim Al Yivra. Some of them said, "Do not create Adam." Umehem Oimrim Yibore, and some say that he should be created. Chesed Omar Yivra. Shehu Goyim Al Chasadim. Chesed said, "Create Adam," because Adam is a Goyim Al Chesed. The MS, this is what we're going to focus on. The MS Oimer, MS said, Al Yivra, do not create. Shekulay Shkarim, because man is Kulay Sheker. His whole entity, Kulay Shkarim, his whole entity, his whole Metzias is Sheker. It's a pretty strong psak. Then it continues a little bit. Ma also HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Not al emes, he took emes v'hishlichoy la'oretz, and he threw him down to the ground. Ado d'chziv atashlich emes arza. That's what the pasuk says, that Hashem threw emes to the ground. But it's a version of pasuk. Omru malachi yashores d'chnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the malachim said in front of Hashem, Riboino elame ma'ato mevazet tachsis al tichsi yashalcha. Why? And how are you being mevaze your seal, your chaysam? We know that chaysam is shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. Why are we being mevaze? How could you be mevaze your seal? Tala emes min haaretz. Let emes rise up from the ground. You picture this poor emes standing up and dusting himself off. Adav dechsev emes may eretz titzmach. Emes will grow, will sprout from the ground. What's going on over here? Kadosh Baruch Hu throws emes to the ground, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu says that emes will sprout from the ground. What's going on? Chaysam yishal Kadosh Baruch Hu is emes. What's going on over here? The answer, the beginning of the answer is this week's parsha. In Parsha's Beshalach, the Yidden looked up and they saw a Giloy of Hashem, like by the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, and they said, Zeh Keli, this is my God, Ve'anvehu, and I will beautify him. And Chazal Darshan, Ve'anvehu is Anivahu, me and him. That's my Hashem, and I'm going to be just like him. So you wonder why when someone looks at Hashem they think it should be just like him. I would send someone quickly to a psychologist if he did that. You look at Hashem and say, oh, I'm going to be like him? Don't get carried away. Where did that idea come from? Zeh Keli, this is my Hashem, Ve'anvehu, and I'm going to be like him. Anivahu. It's going to be me and him. We're going to be the same. Why did they feel that way? Why did they feel like they have to be like Hashem? The answer is because Hashem created Adam. Nase Adam, v'tzalmeinu k'dmuseinu. Adam was created in the tzelem, in the form, kaviyachol, in the tzura of Hashem. That doesn't mean that Hashem has a form of tzura, chas v'shalom, but it means that there's something, every midah that Hashem has is represented somehow in the kaychus of a person. So a person has eyes, there's something called Einei Hashem Alekecha. There's something called a nose, there's something called V'chara Af Hashem. There's something called a mouth, there's something called Vayadaber Alekim. Does Hashem speak? Does Hashem have a larynx? Avadanah. But there's something that means Dibur by Hashem. There's something called a hand, there's something called Zroya Netuya, Yod Chazaka, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which Zroya Netuya and Yod Chazaka are midas of Hashem. Hashem doesn't have a hand or an arm. But everything that exists in a person is a parallel by the Rabbi Nishalem. The person was created with midas that parallel the Rabbi Nishalem. It's an incredible thing. It's Salam Elohim. Not only that, but the whole world is parallel to the Rabbi Nishalem. The world also has in it Einayim, there's Einei Ha'aretz, there's Royos Olam, described in the Pesukim, the arms of the Mitzrayim is called Ervas Ha'aretz. There's different parts of the world at large, also are like a tzura of the goof of a person. So if I drew a picture of you, and the picture is a perfect picture of you, I drew a picture, and my picture is a picture of Morty. And when you look at the picture, you say, that's Morty. That's Emes. If I draw a picture of Morty, but I draw something very different, I give him red hair, so then my picture is not Emes. A person is B'Tselem Elohim. A person is B'Tselem Elohim. A person is a picture of the Rabbi Nishalom. Kolzman, that picture is accurate, so the person himself is Emes. He is a reflection of Hashem. He's Emes. He embodies Emes. Not that he speaks the truth. He embodies Emes. It's like that picture. That picture is, if you take an accurate picture of something, it is truth. That's what it means that Emes is Miyasayde HaNefesh. That from the aside of the creation of Adam is the Midah of Emes. In other words, an Adam is a picture of the Rabbi Shalom, Kaviyachol. It's a picture of Hashem. And as much as that picture is accurate, the person is Emes. But Emes said, Al Yivra, don't create Adam. Shekulay Shkarim. Adam is full of Sheker. What does it mean, he's Kulay Shkarim? Because the way we act and what we do is affected not just by our Yetzer Tov, but also by our Yetzer Hara. Part of our personality and part of our midas and part of our actions and words and thoughts is affected by Yetzer Hara. And that Yetzer Hara is not like the Rabbi Nishalayla. That Yetzer Hara tries to bring us away from doing the Ratzon Hashem and being like Hashem. So the Kol Zman were under the shlita of the Yetzirah. Kol Zman were under the influence of the Yetzirah. We're kulei sheker. We're sheker. We're not being a proper reflection of the Rabbeinu Shalom. L'mashal, the Rabbeinu Shalom is a rachum. Mahu rachum. The Rabbeinu Shalom is a rachum. Kol Zman that I don't have rachmanis, I'm not being a perfect picture of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom is native, does good for other people. If I don't do good for other people, I'm not a good picture of the Rabbeinu Shalom. I am sheker, not that I'm speaking a lie. I am sheker, because I'm supposed to be a Tzelem Elokim, and if I'm not a Tzelem Elokim, I'm a metzius of sheker. I am a sheker. I'm a walking, talking lie. Because I'm supposed to be representing something. I'm supposed to be reflecting something, and I'm not. That's sheker. Okay, I'm gonna get to that. That's a good point. I'm gonna get to that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes emes and throws him to the ground. And the Malachim say, this is what you do to your chaysam. Let the emes come off the ground. So now the pasuk says, emes will sprout from the ground. So my Rosh Hashiva was medayik. If you're just picking him up, you know, Nebuch, the poor guy who fell on the floor, was thrown onto the floor, and you're picking him up, you don't sprout from the ground. Any of you saw in a ball game or something, someone get knocked to the ground? Does he then sprout from the ground, or he just stands up? It should say, not emes me eretz titzmach. It should say, emes me eretz ta'amoid. Emes me eretz ta'ale. What's emes me eretz titzmach? The answer is that this was what the Malachim didn't understand, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood. The Malachim didn't understand, why are you creating Adam that should be a picture of you, and you're giving him a Yetzirah that makes him not be a proper picture of you? Let the Torah stay in Shemayim, don't create the Adam, and then you'll have perfect pictures of you if you want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, the real MS is going to grow, it's going to develop from the ground. Not that he's standing back up. It's going to grow and develop and come out from the ground. Why? Because what's truer? What's truer? If I have a choice to be like you or not to be like you, and I choose to be like you, or if I have no choice? It's much truer if I have a choice. If I have a choice, that means that by myself, independently, I struggled and struggled and struggled until I became a picture that reflects you. That's emes. That's real emes. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an Adam and put him down into this world, and he has the Yetzirah, and he has all these netiyahs, and everything pulling him in every direction to be a sheker, and the Adam struggles with himself to vanquish his Yetzirah, and to do the right thing until he becomes a Tzelem Elokim. That's a beautiful Tzelem Elokim. Through hard work, through challenges, through setbacks, he grows up to become a Tzelem Elokim. That's a gevaldige Tzelem Elokim. Emes me eretz titzmach. It was bedavka, Hashem sent it down to the ground, emes. And even though it doesn't look so good right away, it looks the prognosis is not so good right away, but true emes is going to come dafka from this world. Where we have Bechira, and we have a Yetzara, and still we're going to choose to serve the Rabbani Shalom properly. It's an amazing thing. It comes out according to this. This is why I had so much to do l'maisa. It comes out that doing the Ratzon Hashem and fulfilling what Hashem wants me to do, it's not just each specific act of doing a Ratzon Hashem, davening, learning, not doing averus, doing chesed, mitzvahs, putting on tefillin, whatever the different mitzvahs are. When we do that, we're not just doing that individual mitzvah, but we're being, at that moment, we're being a perfect picture of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're doing exactly what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to do. We're exactly a Tzelem Elokim. Exactly the right picture of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're a proper representative of Hashem on this world. We're Hashem's representatives in this world. And when we serve Hashem properly, then we are emes. We are emes. We're proper representatives of the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's Aleph. That's one step. The next step, and this also involves the emes. Maybe the key, Rafi, I'm going to get to your question. Maybe the key in all Avodas Hashem and growth in Avodas Hashem has to do with the Midah of Emes. I can't even count. I mamish cannot count how many times people have asked me, how am I supposed to know when I reach my potential? Or how am I, should I go here? Should I do this? Should I do that? You have to see if you're ready for it, if you're holding by it. How am I supposed to know if I'm holding by it? How am I supposed to figure that out? Some people struggle with it less. Some people don't like to think about it. Some people push it aside. Some people have a good feel for it. But many people, a large number of people, it's a big struggle for them. Who am I? Where am I holding? I shouldn't jump too fast. I shouldn't jump too slow either. Either way is not good. Where am I? Where am I really at? That's one example. Another example. We talked about this once. You know, I used to have this much more recently. After I got married, so you have a house and you go shopping and you buy things that you like. So you don't. It doesn't happen that much. But when I was a Bachur Yeshiva, every once in a while you get like this craving. I need a Coke, or I need a bagel. You live in Brooklyn. There's a lot more things you could need. You know, I went to Chaim Berlin. They had. You guys are suffering compared to what I grew up with. I need a steak sandwich. I need it. I feel like I need it. I need a steak sandwich. That's what it... Who's me? I need. Who's me? My stomach is me. My head is me. My heart is me. Who's me? Do I need it? It's a funny question. And people start asking themselves these questions. They can make themselves crazy. But who's me who needs it? I'll make the example sharper. You're sitting by Seder, and you're learning. And suddenly, I need a Coke. I need to go to 7-Eleven. Who needs to go to 7-Eleven? Do you need to go to 7-Eleven? Who's you? Who's you who needs it? Your Yetzirah wants to go to 7-Eleven. You need to learn Gemara. Your Yetzirah wants to go to 7-Eleven. Sometimes that's not true, but let's say a lot of the time it is true. I need to go to sleep, or I need to not wake up. Who needs to not wake up? You need to not wake up, or Yetzirah needs you to not wake up, but you need to daven with a minyan. Who needs it? What am I trying to bring out over here? What I'm trying to bring out is that we do not even have the ability to put our finger on who me is. Me, many times me means my Yetzirah. That's one of the things that happened by the Chet of Adam Arishan, that he identifies with the Yetzirah as himself. It came inside of him. So when someone has a taiva that's completely wrong, it's also me. So Im Kain, the person is stuck with a very, very, very shver thing. And it gets, let me just, before I get to the end, it gets even worse than that. Because the Chazal say that once the Yetzirah decides that it wants something, by many people, by most people, the mind and the heart just become tools in the hand of the Yetzirah. I need to go to 7-Eleven. Now one second, that doesn't sound so good. Okay, if I go to 7-Eleven now, I'll be able to learn much better later, and I'm going to burn out. Who knows, I might leave learning forever if I don't go to 7-Eleven now. You know, we start right away being melamed zchus, what we already decided that we need. You know, people could say it. Anybody who doesn't happen to share that Yetzirah that second, it's just amazing that you just like to be amazed at what people say. The excuses that people can give for things. So what do you do? So not only do you don't know who you are, not only you don't have an idea when you say I need who really needs it, but your own mind could be twisted by Yetzirah. You can't even trust your own seichel. There's a big problem there. What is the emes? Rav Dessler talks about this in the first chelik. I think it's called Mabat VeEmes. That piece. I think it's in the first chelik. I think it's called Mabat VeEmes. And this gets something that's a dakustika thing. And we have to talk about how you could do it. But the goal of a person is avoida, and this is a big goal in Musar, is to learn how to be true to himself. How to know himself. How to understand himself. That's also emes. Emes is when my avoda is a proper reflection of who I am. That's also emes. When what I'm doing and how I'm living is a reflection of who I am emes. When what I'm doing and how I'm living is not really who I am sheker. Some people go too much to this extreme, some people go too much to that extreme. There are people who when they're younger in high school and so on, they push themselves much, much, much too far, and that's also not emes. And if it's not emes, it's not fitting right. And if it's not fitting right, it doesn't have a kiyum. That's why they always tell someone to go in stages and to think before he acts, and to let each madrega sink in before he goes to another madrega. Someone once told me that that's why when you sing a song, you know, most Jewish songs, you sing the low part twice and then the high part twice. The low part twice, and if there's three parts, the low part twice, the medium part twice, and then the high part twice. Why don't you just do it once? Someone once told me, someone who has an appreciation for you know, a Talmud Chacham who understands the Inyanim of Shira very clearly, told me once that the pshat is that in Yiddishkeit, you have to become a muchzik in your madrega before you go off to the next madrega. You sing the low part, then you sing it again. Okay, now I got the low part. You sing the next high, the next thing, then you sing it again. It's not stam, because musically sounds better that way. There's a reason by Yidden that we sing that way. You sing a song, we sing the low part twice. We sing the high part twice. We become a muchzik in a madrega. It has to be emes, it has to be me. When I do something, it's not enough just to ask myself, is this right or is this wrong? Sometimes I have to ask myself, is this me? Does this match with what my kaychas are, with who I am, with what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from me? Is it bringing out my potential? Am I being too easy on myself? Am I doing something different? Sometimes a person could be learning the same amount and with the same intensity, but he just needs to be doing something different. It's not him. I know someone that was very, very good in a certain subject of learning. He was very, very good at it. But he felt bad that he wasn't good at a different subject. So he stopped learning the first subject and started just focusing on the second subject that he wanted to become good at. Let's say he was good at Be'ir and he started doing Be'kiyas. And after a while, he started to get so much stress and tension and depression. And he finally realized, one second, if I'm good at this, it's very good to try to branch out. But I have to have an achiz in what I'm good at also. Because that's me. I am a ma'ayim. That's my teva. That's what I am. That's what I'm good at. That's where I'm happy. So I have to be covering myself over there. Then I can try to branch out and also cover other things. But to cut off what I'm good at and just to do something else, that's not smart in Avodah Zarah. That's not emes. It's also an inyan of emes. How do you figure out when you're struggling with the Yetzer Hara what's emes and what's not emes? Rav Dessler says there's no way to figure it out. Like constantly, he says, constantly learning Torah. Torah is emes. Torah is emes. Torah is the only thing. Goyim have this big problem. Goyim have this big problem. And I sympathize with the problem. It's a very, very big problem. The problem is that they have no objective standard of morality. There's no objective standard. So, like, for example, nowadays most Goyim agree that killing is a bad thing. So since most Goyim agree that killing is a bad thing, so therefore, killing could is safe, there's not going to be any law passed permitting killing. But in many other areas, we're safe with that. But in many other areas, it pushes, becomes hard because there's no moral, there's no objective moral code to be that everyone is meshuvah to at all, for example. Truth is, I just said it's wrong because there are laws being passed to legalize murder. It's not right. It's big news today. Do you know what's big news today? Big news: the state of Massachusetts very soon is going to be legalize marriages of people of the same gender. It's big news today in the news. It's going to become a legal thing. Why not? Why not? Why not? So there's a big war going on in this country. President Baruch Hashem, I'm not saying I'm a fan or not a fan, but Baruch Hashem in this respect, he's very, very anti anti these type of things, and he very much wants to retain the sanctity of marriage, and he holds that it's not the will of the country to go along with these judges and so on and so forth. Very, very good. Very nice. But Lemaisa, the country is in a bind. There's no way to work out this problem. There's no way to work out this problem. Because two people wake up, and one of them thinks that it's moral, and one of them thinks it's not. And there's no. What's the debate? What's the heichatu? What are we debating over here? You like the idea, and you don't like the idea. You think it's a tayyev, and it's meus, and you don't think so. There's nothing to debate. And as times go on, if you realize, you look through history, as times go on, different things are morally acceptable, and therefore they're considered good, and different things are morally unacceptable, therefore they're considered bad. Today, if you would, these type of people have to get our full respect, and we want to legalize their marriages. That's morally acceptable today. Today, it's not morally acceptable to have a slave. Okay, 150 years ago, it was not morally acceptable. This was not morally acceptable, but it was morally acceptable to have a slave. What changed? Moods. It's mood swings. The world is having mood swings. Why is slavery? Slavery now the world understands is not a good thing. Not to enslave people is bad, but these type of tayevas, that's okay. Now, so the world is in this kind of mood today. There's no moral objective ray of emes in the world. There's no emes. It's all just going b'chayshech. We have to thank Hashem every single day that we have such a thing. Just for that alone, that we have a clear hadracha what's right and what's wrong. When we thank Hashem for having the Torah, it's a gewaldig thing. We're not subject to mood swings. We know what we're supposed to do. We know what's right and we know what's wrong. Sometimes we have mood swings, but we know what we're supposed to be feeling. In other words, now we're very conditioned to think that someone was asking me recently, we're very conditioned to think that killing any human being is a terrible thing. So we look in the Torah and it says, "Machay timcha zecher Amalek," it makes us quiver a little bit. That we're going to kill all those little Amaleki babies makes our heart quiver a little bit. We're going to kill innocent babies. It makes us upset. But we know what's right, and we know what's wrong, and we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the biggest Rachman, and there's no Tayyiv besides what Hashem says. And now the question is to develop our own Seichel and our own Lev to understand the Das of Hashem. But we have no doubt about what's right and what's wrong. So we can deal with our mood swings much easier that way. Someone who consistently learns, sorry, this was very grub. This is very, you know, we're talking about these things. Most people here don't have issues like this. You know, this type of big, you know, morality issues that the world is facing today, that Baruch Hashem aren't nichnas into the Beis Medrash. But on a simple level, on the going to 7-Eleven, on the figuring out if I'm right to get angry at somebody, on the, am I right not to learn or yes to learn, am I right to say Lashon Hara or not to say Lashon Hara, Tivus or not Tivus, is it right to do this, is it right to do that, and all those struggles, that it's so hard to really, really, really know what's right, because my own mind could be twisted by my Yetzirah. The only way to keep myself in line and in tune, and 100%, you know, clear, is by being Davok in Torah, attached to Torah. Davok in Torah, my whole sense of right and wrong, my whole perception of things comes from learning Torah. And specifically learning Musar, Rav Detzler says. Specifically by learning Musar again and again to keep awake at Igos, the possible deviations, to understand the warning signs, to understand what's a siman of what. The Iyun and Inyanei Musar, the talking things out. What we do here sometimes, telling over stories and discussing things, and trying to say stories that bring things out in a funny way, or stories that bring things out in a serious way. The drastic examples like I just gave, or and then more protheistic examples. That's what shaking us up a little bit. Shaking around ideas. Talking things out. That's the only way that we're going to... Talking things out with the eyeglasses of the Torah, of a Mesillas Yesharim, of a Gemara, of Chazal. That's the only way we can keep ourselves objective. Okay, so now let's get back to Rafi's question. So we have over here, I know I jumped around a little bit, but we have over here, we have the fact that Bichlal, the whole existence of a person, was that he should be an MS, a good reflection of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and that in a more specific sense, a person's whole life is dedicated to creating an Ish MS, in other words, that his outside, that his actions, that his lifestyle, that the things that he does, that the way that he lives matches the MS of who he is. That's also MS. That's also MS. I am MS when my kaiches and my pnimius is truly represented in everything that I do in my chitzonius. I am MS. I'm MS. And if there's things inside that are not being dealt with, if there's problems, tensions inside that are not being dealt with, if there are she'ifas that are not being answered to, if there are goals that I'm ignoring, if there are needs that I'm not paying attention to, then I'm sheker. Because the outside is not matching the inside. The book is not the reflection of its cover. It's for this reason that even though Avad, if I tell you that I went to the store today and I didn't, it doesn't affect any of this. But the sensitivity that my whole life has to be one big MS. There can't be any duplicity in my life. There can't be anything that doesn't match, that doesn't stim, that's not 100% reflected with the truth. The Midvar Sheker Tirchak, that the Torah says, is because of these deeper things. In other words, because my whole existence and my whole goal in life is to be emes, and because my whole avoida in life is to become an emes, so therefore we want to teach ourselves. I mean, the Torah is a mitzvah in the Torah. It's not just a musar. I'm just explaining the chaimer of it. We want to teach ourselves to constantly understand and to focus on the fact that there's no such a thing as saying something and expressing something that doesn't match what the truth is. Because if I could say a story that never happened, if I could tell you that it's something that I feel and it's not what I feel, if I can give you information about something and it's the wrong information, what I'm saying is that life does not have to be through and through MS. I'm allowing sheker to creep into my life, and it's the smallest creeping in. But it's the smallest creeping in. You know, like when you have a space shuttle. We just finished the first anniversary of the space shuttle disaster. We have a space shuttle, so they check the space shuttle, which they made a mistake about this past time. But they check the outside of the space shuttle very, very carefully. They check for any cracks, for any changes, for anything that's not 100% regular, it's not connected exactly the way it's supposed to be, any screw, any foam, anything, any obstruction, it's not 100% the way it's supposed to be. Similarly, when you build a house or when you paint a wall, you also check it very carefully to make sure that it's 100% the way it's supposed to be. But when you're building a house and you're laying bricks on a house, if there's a little slight crack, all right, you can look past it. Don't focus on it. But in your space shuttle, if there's a little slight crack, people will die. So you have to be very macabre about every slight crack. One little crack in the fuel line, one little thing off in a screw, and human beings will die. When you're building a house and you're laying bricks on the outside of the house, so if it's a little bit off, it's not going to affect anybody. So in other words, depending on how important it is, that's how much I have to be makbid about the little things. MS is the focus, the foundation, the purpose, the fullness of my whole avodas Hashem. I'm here about MS. MS may eretz tzmach. My whole job is to be true to myself and true to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's my whole job in life. That's my whole goal. What is the real me and how do I do the ratzon Hashem? That is my whole job. That's my whole life. And everything that I do, when I do something right, I was MS. So over there, we don't even allow the slightest crack. Now, even if I'm going to say, I'm wearing blue shoes, and really I'm wearing black shoes, I'm allowing the slightest crack in the edifice called emes. I'm allowing sheker to creep into my life. And emes is such an important thing. Emes, ki yo emes u miyisaydei ha-nefesh, it's such an important thing. It's such an important concept. It's such an important focus that there has to be no emes in my life, no sheker in my life at all. MS has to permeate every area of my life, just like that space shuttle that they can't, you can't say, yeah, cracks are bad, but this is just a small crack. I didn't realize it would cause a problem. No, a small crack could become a big crack very, very fast when it's a space shuttle, when lives are at stake, when it's under so much pressure. MS is a focus in our life. It's not a side thing. So that's the answer to your question. That's why, even though it seems like such insignificant things, what is it? It's very nice. You tell me these very big, broad things about MS. What does that got to do with telling someone I don't have time to help them now, and really I do have time? What does that have to do with it? No, but you're allowing a crack. You're allowing sheker to creep into your life. You're allowing the possibility that things are not the way, that the things that you're saying do not reflect the reality. Or the things that you're doing do not reflect the reality. That's a terrible problem. Because emes is such an important thing. Okay, we'll stop here.